Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.
California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio and Soul Stream, and I've got Kathy here dialed into the show for me because we have been having power issues out here. The wet and wild weather has knocked the power out here at the house, and I was afraid I wouldn't be having power enough to get the show going. So when it came back, I was immediately seized on it and got hold of Kathy and said, "Oh my God." So she dialed in for me tonight, and I'm dialed in as guest. So the Studio B is hooked in. Hello, my dear.
Hello. How are you, John, outside of all of that?
Well, I was up clearing gutters. You and I were talking about it. I was clearing rain gutters, and I was seeing it as a spiritual metaphor for life. I was dragging out all these leaves, and I was going, this is a lot of fun. And then I had to find a positive in it. And actually getting wet was fun because when I got back in, the power went out. And that's when the fun began. But I did have stopped to have a bowl of pretty nice hot stew my mother made, you know, because it was their place. I was clearing out all the stuff and got the power running. And 2 hours later, or the generator running, and then we had power 2 hours later and had to undo everything. But it was a good exercise for possibly worse weather. So we're here, and I did not get to go up on the CJ-6 Chinese fighter aircraft like I had planned to do. That's why I played the fighter music, of course, you know, my love of aviation. So I will be going up possibly Halloween morning in that plane, and we'll be doing aerobatics and stuff with my friend Kurt Howerton, and he's a great guy and neat guy to work with, and it's just an awesome airplane. So I'll actually get the controls at 900 feet and fly it out to 5,000, level out, and then hand the plane back to him and say, wow. And then we're going to do some G's. And I'm going to pull 4 G's. So when we do this, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to have the barf bag with me. I'm man enough to say it could be that even with my love of it, I could have some trouble. But I'm going to take plenty of Dramamine ahead of time. So, I'm kind of glad we didn't go up in this weather. But tonight, hey, we've got Kim Vasquez with us. And I've had her on the show before. She is the author of Living in the Rearview Mirror, from Substance Abuse to a Life of Substance. And I've also got her book. I'm about about halfway through. New from the Inside Out, How to Transform Your Mind and Life and Your Life. And that's volume one. So we're going to find out where she is at volume 2, 3, 4 and up to volume 28 and find out more about that. And I was laughing through parts of it because I recognize parts of myself in this book, and she could tell us more about it when she gets on. But, we've got a fair audience for a Sunday. And I think more will be popping in. We got Anthea and guest 7681. You are from France. And we have Haunted Hunters and my good friend Karen, Karen's Dream. She is a member of GRI Arizona and did a neat investigation. And we'll be having her on this coming Thursday to share some of her evidence, which we hope she has, from an investigation she just did. She led an all-girl team for an all-night investigation into a haunted place out in Arizona where I just came back from. So with that said, Kathy, what's going on with you? How are you doing?
Oh, God, great compared to what you're going through. It's been a great weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, the water is coming in, I don't know. Just wait a minute. You got to find your favorite ones.
As long as it's not water. Never mind. Evil John comes in when he plays that water.
It's like, oh, no, I hate you, John. But anyway, an Old Crow. Our good friend Old Crow is with us. So good to see you and to all the people out there that are part of, just listening in and lurking in the distance and the folks who downloaded the show later on. Hello to all of you. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and bring Kim on. And I think I see her out there. 916, and that is going to be her. She's been listening to us. She's probably got a lot to say now. And she's nice and warm over there in where she's at in Placer County, so she's like, probably feeling bad about us up here. So anyway, Kim?
Hello.
Are you? Hello.
Welcome
aboard.
Can you hear me? Yeah, Kim. Hi there. Happy birthday, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Yes, I forgot. Happy birthday. You're 32, right?
Always and forever. Yes, thank you.
There you go. Smart man. And hello, Miss Kim. How are you doing, my dear?
You know, I'm doing great. I am really doing great. It's wet down here too, though. Believe me, we don't have any power outages, so I'm very grateful for that. But it's pretty miserable down here.
Yeah, it started last night. I was doing I had to stagger one of our shows, and I was on last night, and it went crazy. And we actually had the power browned out 3 times in the middle of broadcast, and I was going, oh, no, I'm going to lose the show. And Kathy's going to go, where'd he go? So, and then it's been a wild day, and I guess this thing is stalled right over the top of us. So we're going to be seeing it for maybe into tomorrow, I think. I haven't seen the weather report lately, so. But good Lord, it's wet out there.
Yeah.
But good to have you here. What's going on in the world of Kim?
Well, there's a lot going on in my world lately. I'm very blessed right now because I'm in one of those inspired phases. So I've been very active, creating a lot of new stuff. I'm in creation mode. And when I'm in this mode, I am usually really happy, usually feeling really joyful because I feel like I'm aligned with my purpose, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So I'm writing the third book, and I also was guided to create a membership site so I could have a private community for people who want to explore, more of their divine guidance and learning more about angels and that type of thing. And I'm also doing audio recordings of the classes that I do in person. So lots of stuff on the plate, but it's all good.
Now, you work with angelic beings, and you know, can you tell maybe the audience a little bit about, you know, how that all came to be, and how that all works for you?
Yeah, well, I had my first angelic encounter when I was really young, about 5 years old, and I saw an angel, and I had no fear. It was a beautiful, magical experience. You know, as a child, you're not worried about that type of stuff. You just accept it and think it's great. You know, I was very excited. But over the years, a lot of stuff happened in my life. There was a lot of trauma early, and I started to close myself down. And the years that followed, I just got farther and farther away, and I would see still little glimpses of things. But because I was not in a good mental space, all of the presences and things that I felt around me actually terrified me. So I wanted to shut everything out, even the angels. I didn't want to see anything that was, you know, remotely paranormal. And it wasn't until I was 37 when I had, I guess we'd call it a breakdown, but I thought it was a breakthrough because I abandoned all the negativity in my life and opened myself up for a new life that I was supposed to live. And when I did that, I decided to accept these spiritual gifts that I knew had been there. So I went and actually got some training on it. I went to a certification course by Doreen Virtue, who is an author who writes about her angelic communications. And I got some skills there, which made me feel safe to use these abilities. And then I was in love right away. I said, wow, this is really going to change my life. And I felt instantly better, like almost healed right away. And then I began to share it with other people. And we all know when you share it with other people, it gets better and better.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing this? I mean, this seems like, you know, you've really developed a lot, you know, of different things, the websites, the books and all this. So this has been going on for, you know, more than a few years. You know, you've been doing this, you know, a bit.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Actually, it's been probably about 3.5 years. So not as long as it would seem, but what happened was they put me in the crash course. I mean, there was no messing around when it came to me. They said, you're open now, and we're just going to come right in and change everything about you, the way you think, everything about your life, the conditions of your life, wham. And it, crash course is all I can think of, is because that's what it felt like. But I wasn't complaining. Because it was, you know, it was a lot of work, but every step of the way, I felt better inside. So I just said, okay, even if it's hard, you know, I'll take some more.
What was the event that that, you know, set all this in motion? You talked about a crisis, and you know, what was that actual event that tipped it for you when you had the breakthrough?
Well, you know, I was living a really empty life. I was confused. I didn't have a lot of self-worth, so I had gone out into the world, and I had built this fabulous facade. I had a couple businesses that I was running. I had a beautiful house and rentals and this whole life that looked really good, but I had an internal chaos. I was a complete mess on the inside, because when I built all this stuff up, I was supposed to feel like my outside looked, and I never did. Instead, I had all this emotional pain from years prior, never healed, and I had developed migraines. So I was taking prescription painkillers for almost 12 years, and I had a breakdown. Like I said, I was kneeling by the side of my bed and asking God, take me out, please. You know, I can't do this anymore. And if you're not going to take me out, because I actually asked for 2 weeks to die, and it wasn't happening, so I changed my prayer to, well, if you're not going to let me die, could you send somebody to help me? Can you send the angels that work on, you know, my problems to me? And I had a miracle experience. I had one of those mind-blowing, life-changing experiences where the angels came in, and my whole bedroom lit up in green. And I felt like a magnet on top of my head, pulling and pulling. It was almost like it could lift me up. It was very bizarre. It's one of those things that if it doesn't happen to you, it's such a stretch to believe it. But when it does happen to you, you lose all of your doubt that there's a whole other realm out there. And it's what inspired me to seek recovery, get clean. I had all kinds of support through that. I could feel the angels around me supporting me, and I never looked back.
Now, you've developed relationships, continuing relationships with these angels. They are an everyday part of your life now.
Indeed, a wonderful everyday part of my life.
Who are some of the names that we might know and don't know that you work with?
You know, I am learning that all the time. That's what I love about what I do now, is I am constantly learning. So I've done readings before for other people and had names of angels pop into my mind. And I don't claim to be the end-all, be-all of angels. You know, I'm not writing the Bible on angels. This name would come in my head, and I'd go, ooh, I haven't heard of that one, or I don't know much about that one. And I'd start doing some research, and my body would get warm and tingly, and I would go, oh, my gosh, this angel was with me during this period of my life. Like, for instance, Metatron is an angel that not everyone talks about all the time. It's an archangel. And Metatron has been a huge part of my life. I feel like that angel actually helped me work on my relationship with my husband. Also helped me because I'm an indigo, which, you know, I can probably say that to you and you probably know what I mean, but I'm an indigo, which can be very rebellious, and I like to do things my way, but I'm also passionate about the world, and I get hurt over causes and that type of thing. And this angel is very prominently with people who are indigos. And as I read for this other person, I was just lighting up like, oh, my gosh, I recognize this angel that's been with me. It was the coolest thing. So that's one. And go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
There's another one that I really love, Archangel Jeremiah. And I believe that this angel is working with a lot of people right now, not just me, because this is the angel of, life review and life changes and kind of realizing things that you've done in the past, and instead of being morose or regretful about it, learning the lessons from it and applying it to everyday life. And I think a lot of people right now, there's definitely something going on in the world, and I think this angel is very busy with people, helping them grow and heal and move on right now.
Moving on, you mean in terms of the things that have to do with loss and some of the, you know, like the whole transformation that's going on with society and now, and people are under so much stress with the economy and all that? Is that a lot of it?
I think so. When I say move on, I'm talking about letting go of the stuff that doesn't serve them anymore, letting go of the stuff that doesn't help their life, and move on from things that they've been carrying, you know, the big baggage that we've got with us from the last however many years, starting to let part of that go so we can have more love and have the good things in life. And I feel like the love is growing out there. And a lot of people, there's such an energy in this world right now. A lot of people are having trouble adjusting to it. And it's because we've taken a lot of energy shifts have come in through this year. I've noticed four of them personally. And they've really stirred up a lot of stuff inside people to where they're feeling emotional and they can't suppress things the way they used to. It's like coming up and saying, no, let's heal it now. And I think that angel is really helping with those types of things.
So a lot of the negativity, a lot of the increased emotion that's all around us is just manifestations of that. People are just getting rid of this stuff that they have, and they're just it's simplifying people's lives then. Because, you know, it's funny. I mean, Kathy and I were just talking before, and we were talking this afternoon, and I talked to her, and it was funny because we were talking about the stuff we're getting rid of that we no longer use in our lives. And that just seems to be an imperative, you know. I do medium work, and I've worked with angels, and you know, and I'm learning a lot as I go. And it's just, to me, it just seems like, man, all this stuff, it's kind of dragging me down, you know, and all these concerns. And reading your book, New From the Inside Out. I mean, I'm halfway through it, And I got to tell you, I saw a lot of myself in that book with some of the lessons you had. I'm going, oh boy. Oh my God. I mean, that is a good book. I mean, the thing I thought I could just breeze through it and I was going, this one's going to take time. So I've been really kind of digesting it. This book was a little different than your life story book. This one's more about, you know, reaching down inside and looking at who you are as a person and how you react to things. And it looks like it's a series for you because you said volume one and, and that's how I said, oh, volume 28, as I could see that going. But can you tell us a little bit about what inspired that and you know, what that book is about and where this whole series is going?
Well, like you said, the first book was really my life story. And where it left off was the part where I had started the transformation. And the last two chapters of the first book showed, I think they sort of evidenced the mind shift that had occurred. And there was this day that I was out doing errands that my mind just like blew up with all these ideas about things. And what I realized is that the new book needed to be written because it was kind of like the handbook or the manual on where I got from the life I used to have to the life I have today. And it wasn't, like it needed to be super long and involved. It was kind of like these short lessons that they had taught me in a variety of different places that were really almost common sense. Like as I was in training and the angels were saying, hey, the energy all around you affects you and everything you watch and listen to affects you, I went, oh, you know, that almost seems really obvious, but it wasn't obvious to me before. So they said, write it down. Maybe it's not obvious to someone else and maybe this will help. So that was kind of the whole purpose, to try and give someone else the same tools that I had used to move from negativity to a good life and joy.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it open right here, and one of the ones that really struck me was actually two of them was chapter three, awareness of internal dialogue, and you had you talked about these internal little voices, you know, the anxiety, the belittler, the taskmaster, the judge, the thinker, and the storyteller, the witness, and your mental garden, and then the good thoughts that come through. And it was the other one that really got to me because I am such I do computer programming, you know, and I do all that. And the case for not thinking, and I started laughing. I'm going, you know, I'm guilty of that. And maybe you could speak to that a little bit, the case for not thinking. It really struck me, and then cover some of the other parts that really, just strike you, that make you laugh about this book.
It is funny. I know that when I tell people that you'll be a lot happier if you don't think, initially they look at me like, are you crazy? Well, you know, I have a business background. I was in mortgages for 24 years. So what did I do nonstop? I thought. And then when I had my own little business, you know, I was supposed to know everything. I was the boss and I was supposed to think constantly. And what I did is, you know, even when I was off work, my mind was still thinking. I was trying to think around corners, and I was trying to predict every possible thing that could happen and then come up with a solution in advance of what I could do to counter those things, and it was ridiculous in my mind. I had basically a hurricane that I was constantly whipping up inside there every day, and what I wanted was answers and resolution and inspiration, but how can I get that when I was creating a hurricane? It's like the divine inspiration. How is it going to get in? You know, it would have to hit me like a lightning bolt to get through all that stuff. So what I did is I started cleaning my mind, clearing my mind, and just calming it down. And by doing that, my answers come. Like the answers come without any effort from me. And they're the kind of answers that strike me as, oh my gosh, of course that's the answer. Like there's no stress involved. It's just like, well, there it is, you know. And when I started practicing that in my own life, I decided I'm not going to think anymore. I am not going to think 24/7. I'm going to think when I need to or when I'm getting paid to. And then the rest of the time, I'm going to work on keeping my mind really calm so I can have that divine inspiration. And obviously it's working because I got some serious inspiration lately.
Well, it That's just that was that I think I'm going to be rereading this a couple of times to go through the whole thing, but that was, I think, the thing that really got me as I looked at it and went, you know, because the part where you said that when you're in that frame of mind, you're living in the past and in the future, but you're forgetting about the now. And I was like, whoa, that's so true. I mean, and I do that. I mean, I'm always trying to anticipate different things that are coming at me, but really, I mean, we're connected to source all the time. And if you just get out of your way, you know, the subconscious is going to pop those things through, you know, courtesy of spirit. It is going to come through. You know, and it is going to be there for you. It's just, you know, sometimes you got to get hit, slapped up the face, you know, with the truth. And this book did it for me. And will continue to do it. Yeah, I really liked it. And the other was the voices of all these different characters you put together, which are very real. You know, a lot of people are, you know, always had the inner critic and all these different things going on. And you hit that nail on the head. The self-doubt ones, and then the part where you were talking about the people who were critiquing you, and people who you saw who did bad things to you, and that you perceived it that way, and then it turned out to be they were just mirrors of aspects of yourself you didn't like. And I mean, could you talk to that a little bit?
Well, the characters for me kind of came up when I was writing in the first book. I saw these voices in my mind. And I always like to tell people, I'm not talking about multiple personalities. I am talking about the voices that everybody has in their mind. They're kind, you know, there's like a standard bunch. And then we all have our special ones. But, you know, we all have a voice that judges other people. That's And then, you know, we usually, whatever we're doing towards someone else, we're doing worse to ourselves. So I would have a judge that might, you know, look someone else up and down. And then I'm, you know, judging my appearance worse than anyone's. And that type of thing. So I started to find these characters in my head, and I knew that they were not real. I knew that they were not promoting a good life for me. They're not voices of harmony. They're voices that are destructive. So I said, okay, how can I spot these? How can I get to know them? How can I make them not influence me anymore? So I created characters in my own mind, and what I did is gave them attributes, gave them physical characteristics. So when I heard something like, you're not good enough, that I would see an image that went with it. And I would see this image of this dark cloud that looked like it came out of Aladdin's lamp, just this big dark energy. And that's the voice that tells me I'm not loved or I'm not good enough. And then when I saw the visual, I'd go, oh, you're not real, I'm not listening to you. And for me, it became a tool to how to discount the voices that were not on my side and strengthen the one that would show up and say, I'm here for you, you can do it. So I it worked so well for me, I thought, this has got to work for somebody else too.
There was a part in there where you talked about the reason this all happened to you. I'm not able to paraphrase it exactly, but it was basically the reason that all these things happened to you is because an angel came through and said to you very clearly at one point that it was because you would have all this to reference and then be able to, you know, draw on your experiences of these things, including all the, you know, the addiction, you know, all the things that happened to you could be turned then towards the good, because that was what it was all about. And I really liked that part. I mean, it was like a, you know, this shot out of the dark for you that this angel popped in. I mean, and I'm probably paraphrasing it wrong, a little bit wrong, but you know the part I'm going to.
Actually, thank you so much for saying that, because I love that message. I am a why me girl, you know. Most of my life I'm going, God, why me? Why did this happen to me? Poor me. Me, you know. And then when I got clean and I was starting to clear all that stuff from my head, I did have a why me moment, and I did it and I was in a deep meditation, and this angel showed up and she said, you learned compassion from all of the experiences that you've been through. You have this depth of compassion for the rest of humanity that you can't have by reading about it. You can't learn it any other way. So all of those experiences I had, and there's been, you know, a lot that were very difficult to go through, they're not a waste. They have a purpose now, and I think that's the beauty of it. there's a lot of us that are in pain, and we go, gosh, why am I going through this? Why is God mean to me? You know, we have all this inside stuff that we're asking, and the reality of it was I wouldn't have the life I have today if I didn't go through everything that I had gone through in the past. And to be able to make the most of it and have it service other people, I'd sign up to do it again, and I absolutely swear that.
I agree with that. I mean, I've heard a number of different mediums and people who've gone through, you know, the tremendous life shocks and come out the other side. They say similar type things. I mean, I think you said it one of the better ways I've heard it, because it's just a straight, simple message. This was all done because you're going to help other people. But they all say the same thing, and they say that they went through this and they'd do it again if they had a magic card to go back and erase it. They wouldn't, because, you know, it's made them who they are today, and they like who they are today, you know, and I agree with that. I think, you know, I've been through some negative stuff myself and come through the other side, and it's like, I wouldn't change anything at all. It was worth it to get to this point, you know, and any little deviation along the way might have changed it, so I'm not here talking to you today. So I'm glad that these things happen. And that's the part, you know, when I see people in the poor me thinking, you know, I look at them and I feel sorry for them, because, you know, it's like, wow, that they're kind of missing the lesson, you know. I mean, the whole point of that was to learn from that, and they're still not connecting the dot, you know. And they eventually either come to it or they never do, you know. And I guess you see some of that with the folks that come to you for readings.
Oh, my goodness, yes, because I also think that I have a tendency to draw people toward me that I do have matching experiences with. So I get a lot of people that are still in chronic pain, and, you know, I have 12 years of chronic pain that I can draw from. And what the angels have taught me is that suffering, there's an energy that belongs to suffering. And when we're at home with suffering and we're used to it, when I had the victim mindset and I had the poor me mentality, I was completely swallowed whole by it. I identified with it. It was my identity. And it isn't until I got on the other side of it that I went, wow, you know, I have a lot of compassion for those people in chronic pain, because when you're there, you can't see it. You don't know that you can get on the other side of it. All you can picture is, woe is me, more of the same. And you don't know.
Yeah, they don't have a framework.
No, and it takes a lot of belief. So for me, what I did is I began to believe in healing. You know, I started reading the types of material that was out there that was supportive of healing, and didn't say, "Oh, I got to take a pill every day forever, and this is my burden to bear in life." I went, "No, I want to read the books that tell me that I don't have to bear a burden anymore, and that I can have this free and joyous life." And I read that stuff and started to believe it, and then asked the angels to support it. And I was clear. I don't suffer from migraines anymore, and I had them for 12 years.
Woo-hoo.
Every day for 12 years.
Also, pardon me, you broke up there.
Every day for 12 years. So I didn't have, like, occasional migraines. I had a migraine every day for 12 years. So when you get out of living in that kind of pain, it's really a miracle.
I believe you on that. So much illness is a direct result of mental, you know, and mental and emotional pain, and it finds an outlet, you know, whatever way it can, and sometimes it's directed to, you know, self-destructive internal physical damage to you, which is disease, you know. So I absolutely believe you on that. I've seen it happen to multiple people, including myself, you know, and coming out of it and just letting go of that stuff. You know, that was the thing too, is, you know, forgiveness and letting go of, you know, past angers with people. You know, you can carry, you know, especially when you're in the poor me mode, you can carry around a lot of, you know, blame to other people. Why couldn't they? And that was a tough one for me. I mean, I had some stuff that was as bad as it could get for me in my life that I had to look at it and go, you know, just let it go. It's not going to do any good, you know, pointing back and saying, you know, why didn't you? I mean, you got to wear their shoes too. And I think you said something about that in some of the book. I'm up to that part right now where you're talking about transforming that with people and looking at what they did to you. Yeah, that was it. You were taking the things that happened in your life, and you were saying, okay, this person did this to me. When in my life did I do the same thing? And why did that happen? And I just thought, no, that's pretty good. You know, I mean, that's like an honest self-assessment, you know, to the max.
Yeah, you have to be ready for it, because when you're not, if you're not ready for it, you'll justify your own behavior. You know, you'll take a look at yourself and say, okay, yeah, I may have done something like that too, but what they did was way worse than what I did. And that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for, can I please get some real forgiveness here? Can I please get some real release of this in my life? Because what I'm carrying is way too heavy. And I looked at some really hardcore stuff in my life and took a look back at myself. And I wasn't doing a tit for tat thing, like this person financially harmed me, so did I exactly financially harm someone else in the same manner. It was usually like a feeling, a behavioral thing. This person did this to me. I got really hurt. This is how I felt. Have I ever made anybody feel that way? And what I ended up doing is finding me in every single bad behavior someone else had done to me. And then I went, well, how am I any better than them? I'm not. I'm the same as everybody. It was very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of profound. I look at it and went, I think I'm going to have to stop with that, because, you know, you talked about, I think at one point, driving. I own a 2005 Ford Mustang fastback, and I have a rather, when I get behind the wheel, I have a real sense of justice about people who cut me off, and I get rather animated about it. And I saw that when you had that, when I was reading that part, I went, oh my God, I got to look at that. That's not cool. And I think that's going to go a long way to helping me cure that, because, you know, you just don't know what somebody else on the other side of the wheel and, you know, in another car is really doing that for. They could be self-centered. They could be having an emergency. It could be anything. It could have not looked, you know, so I was looking at that going, yeah, that's one of many I've got to look at. So, you know, I promise you, I'm going to go through this whole self-assessment, but it is powerful. I mean, it's an absolutely, I think, essential tool. If you're really going to work on yourself, you got to look at the good, bad, and the ugly, and that's a great way to do it. Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, the driving stuff, oh my gosh, it relates to everybody. It really does, and we all think we're such great drivers and that everyone else is just making the mistakes out there. But realistically, I have made mistakes while I'm driving, and I like to think I'm a good driver. I don't even talk on my cell phone anymore when I'm driving. I don't do anything but drive, because I am totally into respecting the community and other lives, and so I focus. But can I say I'm never going to do something dumb while I'm driving? I can't. You know, I don't know. Am I ever going to drive really fast if I get a phone call that someone's hurt and I need to get there? No, I'm going to probably drive fast. So, yeah, I've learned to look out at the other drivers and go, okay, you're kind of driving crazy. God bless you. I hope protection goes with you, you know, and mean it. Not in a, like, oh, you need some help. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I mean, I'm giving thanks, too. I mean, it's the other day, I had something happen that, I look back, in March 13th of this year, I got a ticket in Placer County. I was driving, Hazel Avenue. You know, I was heading from Highway 50, heading your direction towards Roseville. And I was clipping along 60 miles an hour. I wasn't looking at the speed. Next thing you know, I'm pulled over, you know, and I did 15 over. And I paid a good chunk to Placer County and, you know, of money. And I was go through the online driver training. And two things I learned out of that course, which really have stuck with me, is one, keep three gates open, which means have three ways out of or four ways is preferable, but four gates, meaning you can accelerate, decelerate, left, right. Always try to keep at least two of those zones clear. And the other was the 3-second rule, which means at any speed, look at the car ahead of you and keep 3 seconds minimum, distance. Well, it was funny because I was just thinking about that. I was driving along, it was just 7, 8, 9 days ago. And I'm driving along, and I have a car in front of me, and I remember the rule, and I backed off a little bit, and the guy hit his brake suddenly.
Oh.
And I locked it up. I locked it up and had the Mustang going sideways, and then I snapped it. And if I had been right on him, I would have plowed right into him. And I was looking at it going, that was the best ticket I had ever gotten.
That was such a huge gift.
Yeah, it was absolutely the right thing, you know, that happened. You know, to get that ticket, you know, you could look at it as a bad thing, but I learned a couple of really big rules that I'd kind of forgotten, you know, and I'm applying that. And I just think that sometimes people look at things that are bad and forget, what's the good that comes out of this? And I'm going to actually write the people that had the course and say, you guys saved my life, and possibly other people's with that rule in that course. So I'm going to thank them for that. But yeah, bad things aren't always bad. You know, there's always a silver lining, I think, to everything.
Well, that's a wonderful story. That is awesome example of how it works. And I don't look at things as good and bad anymore. I look at everything as foundational. And I think that's the gift about what the angels taught me about my past, because I have so much joy in my life right now. I don't think I even knew the meaning of joy before. I thought I felt joy when I got like a new house and I would feel it for a day or something, but I didn't know it could be part of everyday life. And that's why all the stuff that has happened has been so important, because it put this foundation underneath me to get me to the place where I could live in joy. And so, like you said, I would have counted all these things as bad. And are they bad if they got me here? No, they weren't bad. They were my lessons, that's all.
I've got a question here from Kathy, our birthday girl. So she gets the first question from the audience. And actually, to the whole audience, if you do have a question for Kim, pop it in. Or if you do want to call in, you know, the number is I can't see my own number. I'm getting really bad glasses. I got to get some new glasses. And I've moved things around with my laptop. So, it's 646-478-0377. So call in. But since it's Kathy's night, and everybody say happy birthday to Kathy, she wants to know, do you channel?
That is an excellent question. Channel as in being a medium?
I'm not sure. That's all she said. That would be like a great answer. Is, yeah, I change a channel. I've got a remote. But that's what she means. Yeah.
I think that's what she means. Am I a medium? I never really used the word channel for myself, but I would have to say I feel that I am. And the reason I feel like that I am is because when I wrote the books, a lot of times I would go back after I had written stuff and read it and not remember reading it. And when I write, I lose time. So I don't even know. I'm like in another zone, in another realm of time warp. And I will actually almost like come to and look over at the clock and go, oh, my God, you know, where did 5 hours go? And so I assume there is some channeling going on. I'm very careful about it, though, because I totally believe in keeping the information that comes through me on the angelic plane. So yeah. I do a lot of prayers. I put a lot of white light protection and that type of stuff around myself. But I actually had one of your experiences lately. And I was going to ask you a question, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Have you seen somebody go to the light?
I've been there when this has happened to me repeatedly, and I seem to be getting a lot more of it. We just had a case not far from you out in Lincoln, California, at a place called Bierman's. You know where I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredibly haunted place. Let's just say that. And I'm about to do the reveal for the owner and a guy named Tony Wood, who's the real estate agent for that place. And they were very gracious to let us in. And I'm going to be doing an interview with one of the local papers tomorrow. A gal named Stephanie Dumb was the reporter who was with us, and we gave her some equipment. And said, here you go, you know, and we made her start the recorders, and then she got creeped out in some areas of this investigation. But you know, getting to your question, I mean, she was asking some questions, and at one point we got a spirit that came through and asked us for help crossing over. Mm-hmm. And this seems to be a regular feature with us. And we go out, and it seems to be specifically to me. I'm a magnet for whatever reason. I'm a magnet for EVP. I don't know why. I have no clue why, other than, you know, I come from a family of mediums, and psychics, and for whatever reason, I get tons of EVP. You know, when other people go out to the same spot, and they may get four. You know, so this seems to happen a lot. Have I seen them go to the light? No, but I have felt them go to the light. And I've given them, if you've ever been to Coloma, by any chance, you know, over in the, yeah, Coloma, oh yeah, there's a lot of spirits there. And I was asked at one point with a spirit begging us to cross over. You know, it was actually this one of the most emotionally upsetting EVPs I've ever gotten, because the spirit's going to cross us over. And it was just begging. And so what we did is I researched some ways to help with that. And we came up with a very simple solution, which, you know, it gave them the option of when they could do it for themselves. And we went back and explained to them that all they had to do was go find the nearest funeral home and wait for someone who was just freshly passed. And the light would still be with them. And that light, because they had missed out on their chance, that light would be available at their convenience to do it the way they wanted. And I said in this, and this is the one that really strikes me, is when we went to share that news with them, I was running EVP, and we went to the same spot, and you could feel presences all around us. And this was at the James Marshall statue that's up there. It's just a huge statue overlooking that whole valley below where the gold was discovered. And his remains are up there. And so we that seems to be like a gathering place for them. And we had this this talk with them, and they were so grateful. And there was thank yous coming through, you know. And it's one of the more personal experiences I've had with this. You know, the paranormal is so interesting to me, because, you know, it's one thing to go get evidence, and we get excited about the technology and talking to this side, but, you know, so many of these entities are in pain. You know, they've for whatever reason, they were afraid to cross to go over to God, you know, and to experience the other side. And when they go through these things, you know, it's one thing to be technically interested. It's another to hear pain, and it tugs at your heartstrings, and you've got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go out there, and it's compassion. You talk about compassion and the living, you know, so much in this book, and how they come to help you. And here's our chance on this side to help them, you know, and do things that we can do to help the ones that are confused, that haven't quite made it all the way. They're caught in between. And so, yeah, I have felt them. When they said they were going to gather together and go to and take the advice I'd given, it was like the place just lit up. You know, I can't describe the feeling other than it was very joyful. The feeling of blackness in the area just kind of went away, and you walked away and you felt like you'd done something good. Yeah. I mean, does that make sense?
It really does. That's really powerful. And
yeah.
I was going to tell you too that, you know, who can also help them is Archangel Azrael, is the angel that helps people cross over. And
Azrael,
yeah. And you can tell them, or, I mean, you can ask too, but you can tell them to ask for that archangel to come, because the angel will bring the light and help them too. So that's a
okay.
Hot tip too.
Yeah, you know, we take all the ones we can get here. Is that Azeal?
It's Azrael. It's Azrael.
Okay, got it. I'm just writing that down because I want to have that right on hand. Believe me, we will take whatever works, because you know, it's one thing to go to a place and you get the traditional EVP that says get out of here, I don't like you, blah blah blah, but when they come asking, that changes the whole case right off the bat. And you know, they seem to recognize people who do this. You know, so believe me, I'll definitely throw that in the pile and use it. Probably first, because that can actually get them. It's just another tool, you know, that they can use to make the journey over. And they do get trapped. They do, you know, get lost. And, and they've got emotional pain. I mean, you're so lucky in this life, being the teacher that you are, you know. You've had these great experiences. And I've had my little share of these things, too.
Right.
But they're the folks that never made it, you know, during their life. And for whatever reason, their life was cut off. And then they get caught, you know. I mean, do you run into much of that in your work? Do you run into, you know, folks that are having haunts or spirits and they come to you with your angelic background, and have you had any of that come your way?
Well, I primarily stay on the angelic plane, so I don't think it's been one of those things that I've really opened myself up to. I think we all specialize where we feel comfortable or we feel aligned with our purpose and that type of thing. But I did have my first experience of this nature, and it was because it was somebody that I knew who had passed away. And as soon as I found out that she had passed away, she immediately came. Like, I went into meditation, and she was there. And it was black where she was. And she said, it's not
mine.
I know, and you know what? However you were just describing it right now, with such perfection for exactly what I felt and what I went through with that, because it was a new experience for me. And I just wrote about this on my blog because I'm not James von Prague. You know, when this happened, I didn't instantly have a solution or know what to do. I told her, ask for Archangel Azrael. And I said, you know, I'm going to pray for you, pray. Tell them that you are asking for the light, that you want the light to come. And what ended up happening was she stayed with me, and I started getting really sick, and I started feeling very negative and very fearful, and that's not my natural state. And because of a lot of things that I've learned this year, I started to recognize there's something going on here, and it's not me. So I decided to go into meditation to call in my angel troops. I need the army with me now. I need to know what's going on. And she was there again. And I went, oh, this is what's going on. I'm experiencing your feelings. You're here. And you're having me experience this with you. And I don't like it. It's, you know, it's really hard for me. And it's really scary. And I can only imagine how she felt. And so When I went into meditation the second time to ask for the angels to come, I wasn't thinking that she was still with me. And when I went in and it was black, this time it was like we were down in a well together.
Uh-huh.
And up above us was the light. And I went, there it is. There's your light. You know, go to your light. Your angel's here for you. Go. And I got to watch her go. And I could cry right now because, oh, I never in a million years thought I would be the girl that would tell you a story like that. I never thought I would see it. I've seen it in movies, but I never thought I would see it, me, you know? And it was it was quite something, and it just recently happened, so I'm still pretty overwhelmed by it. But you came to mind because I thought, my goodness, this is what he does. I mean, he's contacting the ghost in the afterlife, which is technically what she was, because she wasn't passed on to heaven, so she was still here, and that's
sure.
What he does all the time. So, wow.
It's funny. I mean, I when I first got in, it was the fascination from the technical aspect, and I never in a million years dreamed I'd be doing mediumship and I'd be having the clairaudient stuff that I had happen, and then the human stories that would happen, and you get drawn in. And it becomes less about, you know, the interesting technology, which, you know, trust me, I'm the original geek when it comes to the technology. But when we get there, you know, all this is applied for a reason. And you know, it's so funny that you said that about the emotions. That's a very, very common way that an entity has, you know, spirit, you know, whatever you want to call that. But when they're on this side, I'd use the word entity, and it's the same thing as, you know, human being spirit. That was what she was doing with you. She was showing you how she was feeling and what was trapping her there. And you did the right thing. You did exactly, you know, beautifully. You know, you called on the one thing you knew and the one experience you had and brought that angel in. And that's absolutely, that was the right thing to do. And she came to you for that very reason. That was why she was there. You know, and so you did great. You know, you're natural at this. You know, so.
Well, I don't want to be putting that out there. I don't know if I'm a natural at it. It was, I have to admit, it was slightly terrifying for me. because it is uncharted territory. I know everyone thinks that if you have like intuitive abilities that you're, you know, talking to ghosts and stuff all the time, and that is not necessarily true. I am in my readings a lot of times. I will talk to loved ones that have passed on with, you know, the clients that are here. But that was very much out of my realm. But I have to say, it is certainly an honor to be a part of that. Like the feelings that you're talking about that you said that you had when you experienced their emotional pain, which is what I was experiencing with her. I was very unsettled when she contacted me the first time. I was really upset. I mean, I was crying because this was someone I knew and cared about who was in emotional pain and wasn't here anymore. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I gave her the best advice I knew, but I didn't know that she was going to need me to help her. I thought when I told her to ask for these things that she would be okay. So I learned something myself.
It's funny. One of the books that comes to mind in an author, Mary Summer Rain, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she is she was a fairly prolific author in the 1980s and early 90s. She wrote some amazingly good books about her life learning under an Indian woman in Colorado called No Eyes, and that was her spiritual teacher. And No Eyes was literally had no vision, and she was this amazingly wise Indian woman who was very well connected in the spirit world and dealt with angelic figures and beings from other worlds, all kinds of things. I mean, it was a very, for its time, those books seemed really far out, and they actually were kind of tame compared to what we see, you know, today.
Yeah.
But what was interesting was No Eyes' take on paranormal investigation. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, that this stuff has been going on a lot longer than just since TAPS. I mean, it goes back even to other cultures, specifically even the American Indian culture. And, you know, she was talking, she ended up telling Mary Summer Rain at one point that it was her mission to, you know, as part of her duties, learning to be this wise woman that which No Eyes was passing all this knowledge on to. Oh, this is a very high purpose that you have, by the way. You have to go, you know, help these ghosts cross over. And it's like Mary Summer Rain's going, what? Are you insane? And she goes, no. And she gave her the location of these spirits that were in trouble and needed help and sent her on her way. And for a period of time, that was what she did. And it was actually a teaching phase for her as part of what she's going through. And so, it's funny you say that, and it comes back to mind. And that's exactly what I think a lot of people who are very serious in this work come to see, you know, is that the paranormal stuff is it's great. I'm going to stay in it, believe me. But, you know, the mediumship, I find myself gravitating more to a lot of the work you're doing in that same vein with the mediumship and, you know, the angelic work and dealing with beings that are fully crossed over on the other side. But I'm going to keep my hand in this because it is interesting and it does feel good when you help them. You know, but what you did was so right on, because when they want you to feel things, they really put that, they'll make you feel what they're feeling. And for somebody who's empathic, and I think that's where you are at, you know, if I could give anything a quote, a title in you, is yeah. you are strongly empathic to other people, and you have to be for the kind of work you do. So when she was sitting there lost in a world of dark, who was the first person she thought of that could help her? And there you were.
And, you know, I had this rough experience earlier this year, just a really rough experience of personal growth, like needing to grow and having negativity slam me from different areas. And it was probably one of the toughest things I've grown through since I accepted this work. And had it not been for that experience earlier this year, I would not have recognized so immediately what was going on in my mind and that it wasn't me. It wasn't my stuff. I'm not saying I was possessed or anything like that, but having those thoughts and having all these negative thoughts, that's not me. And instead of just kind of writing it out, hoping it's going to get better in a few weeks, I went, no, wait a second. This needs to be nipped right now. Let's deal with it. I'm going into meditation. I'm going to get some help. And, you know, and that's why it happened so quickly. And I'm just so grateful. It was almost like that was my training for what was going to happen now. You know, they always know what's coming.
Well, it's very common to see in investigative teams, especially in the field. You watch. I've learned there's no rule book for this. You know, you go in and you think it's all going to be one way, and it ends up being something else. And you know, when I supervise an investigation now, you know, number one rule is the first thing is safety briefing. Second is, you know, the kinds of spiritual protection you need to do, to have around yourself. And I arm people with stones and do different things to kind of get them thinking about, you know, what we could run into out there. You know, and thirdly, I'm watching their emotional state. And, you know, we've had incidents where people have, you know, had things come through. And you just kind of slowly pull them aside and find out what's going on. And then, we can adjust the investigation around that. You know, but it's very, very common to get emotional reactions. You know, spirits will come through someone or make them feel a certain way. We get smells. If you smell certain things like somebody likes cigars or they'll wear a particular perfume, that's why we don't allow perfume on investigations. You know, anywhere to wear perfume or cologne or anything like that. So, it, what she did was a fairly common technique to get you to see. You know, and the nice part about it was you didn't climb into your thinking mind. You went into the subconscious mind and pulled out exactly what she needed. So, you know, awesome. Good work.
I had a lot of good help there.
I do have Kathy with another question here. She says here, did her husband see a change in her after all was said and done? And if so, what was his thoughts about Kim speaking to angels? I think it's Dominique, right?
So what has my husband's experience been dealing with me kind of thing?
Yeah.
That's a pretty common question. I jokingly told him, you're going to need your own chapter in the next book because people always wonder, you know, what is it like? Well, he's my match for a reason, I'm sure. Because when I first started explaining stuff to him that I could see and feel, he did not judge me. He never made me feel like, oh, God, here we go again. You're being kind of nutty. Nothing like that. It was just like, earnestly, I'm listening to you. Yeah, I'm not experiencing that, but I'm listening. And I care about what you're going through. Because there were times in the beginning when I was unsure and I would get scared, and he was there. Well, the best part of it is, through the last few years, I mean, he's listening to me. I'm telling him about all the experiences. And he's extremely gifted. What a surprise. And he tells me these stories now about things that happened to him, and he recognizes the guidance now. He recognizes what it is. He recognizes all the so-called coincidences that are not coincidences. And it's awesome. It is so awesome. So I was lucky, I think, because I got someone who said, I'm with you, and I'll be here with you through this.
That is the neatest thing. I mean, to have people accept you just as you are with this. I mean, it's like mediumship, you know, and I'm clairaudient too, and I can actually hear them. I mean, you see them. I get to hear them, and I occasionally will see bits of them. And first you question your sanity when all this is happening, and then you have to tell the one you love or people around you that are family. It's like it's so appreciated when they really do get it, you know, and they just allow you to have the experience and see what happens with you. You know, in my mind, that's true love.
it's a blessing. It definitely is. And there were times, like, very soon into it when all these things were starting to happen to me, I would say somebody just came into the room and he would go, I know, I can feel it. And there was that little part of me that went, yay, yay, you're in it with me. You may not be pursuing the same things as I'm pursuing, but you're here and you can feel it. And I knew that that was a good sign. And, you know, when his father passed away, when his father would start to come to me, there was no concern on his part. He would say, yes, you know, let's talk to my dad. And so it isn't like he sits down and says, Kim, do readings for me, but he was just completely non-judgmental and open. And I don't think I could have asked for anything more.
Does he regularly work with his abilities in the way that you do, or is it just, that's just a matter of course with him and, you know, in his day-to-day life? Or
his abilities regularly work with him. He doesn't regularly work with them. You know what I mean? They show up in his life. He'll tell me, oh, my gosh, this happened. Like, he's called in the angel warriors before and had a huge noise happen and felt everything there with him. And I loved it. I thought that was so cool. And so I think he did that for me. He was trying to put protection around me when he did that. So I don't know that he uses it for himself, but he will try and ask for things for my benefit, and he'll definitely heed his own guidance when he recognizes it, which is pretty often.
Now, with regard to you seeing in your abilities as they've developed, and they've obviously flowered and gone quite a ways, you know, from the start when you first realized all of this could change your life and did it, you know, and made that happen. What things typically happen? Are you actually seeing them with your eyes? You actually physically see them, or is, you know, and obviously there are other means that they have for getting through to you. How does that work for you?
I actually don't see them as much as I hear them, feel them, and experience them. I have the ability to see them. I have throughout my life, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's the constant, which is keeps it very interesting because it's never the same. You know, they're either talking or I'm feeling, or the, you know, they're washing things over me, and I actually like it when they wash the things over me because usually it's a form of love or joy, and I consider that a real privilege to have those feelings given to me. But I see energy outlines often, which I try and explain to people as, you know, in the movies when they show the concrete, hot asphalt, and like the sun is beating down on it, and there's kind of like this just ripple in the air? I will see that a lot. Yeah, I see that type of energy with people. And then I'll ask and find out who that is. I see all the time in meditation, which is why that's one of my forms. If I want to see, I go into meditation because that's a guarantee for me.
Now, that's interesting, you bringing up meditation, because this is something I'm really getting into. I did see this on your website, and then I was looking for it again, and it was gone. I was going, where did the meditation she did go? Because I was wanting to download that, and it's like, you've gotten into that. You know, you're actually producing some meditation materials of your own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am, and they're back on there now. It was a download technology. I'm actually having a problem with the service that I chose, so I'm working it out. It'll be on there soon, but I do have the actual CDs on there now. Originated because I was going to do the classes I do in person, Sacred Circles, are classes that are geared to help people improve their life, like by bringing more joy into your life or teaching you about the internal dialogue. And at the end of each class, I write and do a meditation with everyone. And the angel said, you should not only put the classes online with the meditations, but you should independently make the meditations available too, because they're all angel assisted, and so they're lovely and they're very effective, and they help people get closer, you know, sort of like introduced to their angels and get closer to their angels. So it's really good stuff. It's really awesome to be a part of it.
I was laughing today because on Facebook, you saw what I was doing, because I have a variety of different recording equipment. I collect cameras and recording gear like candy, and I have what's called a Zoom H2, which is studio quality recorder, which is extremely portable. And I went outside, and I was just totally enjoying the sound of the storm, you know, despite all the challenges that were going on. When you stop and take a moment to see the energy going over you, it's just this tremendous force is going over, and the trees are making noise and all this. So I went out to the garden and put the Zoom out under some cover, and then found out it was wrong, and I finally found the right place to put it, and was recording that stuff, and I mentioned it on Facebook because I'm going to use it for some meditation tapes I'm going to do. So I was and I mentioned it, and you were like commenting, you're doing that? And it's like, I'm really getting into the whole meditation genre, because you feel so good when you ground, mm-hmm. you know, and you do the and do different types, and there's so many different people that are very good at this work. And there's just a wealth of material out there. And when I saw yours, I wanted to experience yours because, number one, I've had you on, and I'm going to get that. Now that you're going to have it back, I'll be watching for that. But you know, where are you going with that? I mean, are you going to take it into a series?
I am actually, it was the beginning of this year. The angels sort of laid out for me what was going to happen this year. And this was one of the things on their checklist for me, was to do these meditations and also do the classes, because the class, I have people come to these classes and I watch people blossom. It's been very effective, and it's not very hard. The stuff that we do in class is not really hard. And to end the class with the meditation, we sort of like ground in the work that we've done, not like grind it in, but, you know, ground ourselves in that lovely work. And they told me, you know, you need to make those available to people who can't come to your classes. Those should be available on your site to anybody. And so I have, they're all written. There's so many of them already. So it's just a matter of me sitting down and doing the recordings and getting them online. And then what they want me to do is make them available on a membership site so people can just come in all the time and use them as would benefit them, I guess. So they have a whole vision, and I'm just working on it.
Well, I'm going to be doing the same thing. I'll definitely compare notes with you. I'm at the point where I'm going to start writing my own. I actually used to lead meditation 20 years ago when I first got into all this work. Yeah, I actually led meditation groups. We had a study group out here in El Dorado County. And, I was young and didn't know what I was doing and was having a great time. And they threw me in front of a bunch of people and said, lead the meditation. So I did it, and I was coming up with stuff on the fly. And now I'm looking at it going, wow, I should have written all that stuff down. But, you know, it's you really feel good when you do it. And it does have a lot of benefit physiologically, mentally, spiritually. It's like lifting weights, you know, when you do any work with the other side. And you're doing, you know, especially mediumship or, you know, angelic communication like you're doing, it is literally weightlifting. You're working, you know, working that all out. And it just seems to be the thing to do. And I don't know how it does this for me, but my accuracy just gets better every time I remember to do it. And that's the problem is you get so busy in your life, you forget. And then you suddenly catch yourself. You go, oops, I haven't been meditating. And it's not like a big thing to do. You don't need to do it for like 4 hours. You know, 15 minutes is pretty good. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
you said we're kindred spirits, and I would have to agree with you on that. I think we have a lot of the same interests and same feelings about helping other people and that type of thing. And I do think that you have a wonderful voice for it. So I think that your meditations are going to be awesome.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot and see how I do and throw a few out there for people and just to test some of the reactions and stuff. But, yeah, I've got the radio voice, so. But I'll definitely throw some your way and see what you think, and maybe we can tune them up a little bit. My plan is to, like what I did today, I'm going to record natural noises. So, since I have the studio quality gear, I'm going to go around and, tape water, different sounds like ocean, pretty much water and wind. I'm going to start with, some of the elemental forces, and then get those as good background noises. And maybe some chimes, different things like that, and just get that all. And I've got the studio completely equipped, you know, so I can mix that all in and have a really professional, setup when I get done. But, as you know, it takes work to engineer these, and I'm sure you've spent some time on yours, you know, setting that up and getting it done, and it probably took you a little longer than you thought.
Holy moly. I can't even tell you. I actually had a professional helping me at one time, and I needed to learn how to do this stuff myself because I have so much ahead of me to go, and I have had to learn 5 different software programs to create these things. And it was not, and I'm self-taught, so it was, you know, banging my head up against the wall and going, okay, angels, give me my next step because I'm, you know, going crazy here. So it's taken me quite a long time to produce them, and actually just even doing one takes me quite a long time. But, you know, I I did it, so I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and I kind of keep that in perspective that this is really not about me. It's about me learning how to do it so I can do what I'm guided to do. So I think you're ahead of the game because you already know how to do this stuff, and you already have ideas about getting the sounds and all that. I think it's going to be wonderful to have, you know, all the nature sounds. Those are the best sounds for meditation, I think.
I do too. I mean, the thing that just struck me, and maybe it is, you know, my guides coming through. You know, sometimes they're sneaky. They don't quite announce themselves. They'll just suddenly pop things, and I'll feel things, and to go, oh yeah, that's a good idea. And that's what's been hitting me is this whole notion of how I feel when whether in just in the places I go that I really feel the best. Or, you know, in the kinds of environments, especially like, you know, you notice how you feel in a rainstorm. You feel usually pretty good. There's negative ions around. There's all sorts of good feelings. And there's spirit all around you when that's happening. And it's not surprising that there's a lot of paranormal activity in storms. Wonder if there's a connection. So, mm-hmm. You know, it just seemed natural to do that, to go get the noises. And, you know, when I suddenly realized, wait a minute, I've got all this paranormal gear. I could use it for other things. You know, and I've got this studio grade recorder. Why not? And I went out, you know, I did a little check on what I got, and it came out really good. So you guys are going to get to hear some really great storm noises up in the Sierra Nevada. So we'll have some fun with that. I do have a notion for the audience who are interested in angels and things like that. You're the expert on this. How do you develop a relationship with your angels? How can you, and meaning, you know, the people out there who have never done this, how do you open up a dialogue? You know, what's your experience of that in helping people do that?
I tell everybody to start with just asking. We have to ask because angels work with free will. So they're not going to step into your life and start making themselves known unless they're invited in, because that's just one of the things, they won't violate free will. So we have to ask. We have to say to them, you know, please come into my life. I need some help with this or that. And for me, I started with, please let me feel you around. Let me, you know, I'd like to feel your love and protection. So I asked for that every day for probably a couple weeks. Now, back when I started doing that, I was the type of person that was very fearful, just, you know, operating in the regular world. And it took me a couple weeks to go, oh, I don't feel that way anymore. So that's a really good place to start, because you can actually gauge how you feel. And if you feel better, then you know it's working. And you will feel better, because I've never had anyone tell me they didn't feel better. And so that's a good place to start. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I would also encourage, like, if you can get quiet and meditate, if you can't, just sit there quietly and talk to the angels. Tell them what you need help with in your life. And some people get hung up because they think, oh, I'm praying to angels and I don't know if that's right or wrong, or, you know. So I tell people, I'm not praying to them. I ask them for help. It's very different. I don't, you know, put my hands in prayer mode and say, dear angels, and formally ask them for help. But I do speak to them with respect and honor, and I am thankful, and I say thank you when I receive help. But it can be very informal.
Are they, I've seen enough of this that I know they're not the 6.5 foot tall, winged, creatures that, you know, that are of a particular, you know, look to them that we you see in the common literature. To me, I see them as energy forms in a way. That's just my take on it. But how do you see them? How do you see them in your mind's eye, and your experience of seeing them whenever you have? I mean, what do they look like to you?
Well, they keep it interesting for me in that regard too. when I was really young and I would see them, I think they represented a lot more formal. I would often see a man that was dressed in sort of like a monk's robe, like a white monk's robe with a robe belt. So that was the only way I could explain it then. And there was typically like a mist around him. And I could see him, like he looked physical. He looked, you know, kind of opaque, but still physical. I could see there were not wings. I didn't see wings. I actually don't see the wings very often. I've seen them when I've seen, like, the army of angels and had visions of that. But in everyday life, I typically just can see the energy outline and know it's an angel. I can also see in color. And so a lot of, like, the archangels will represent in color at times. So if I see a large energy that has a yellow look to it with someone, then I know, you know, it's Archangel Uriel. Or if I see green around somebody, like, you know, almost like they've got this huge green aura around them, I'll know that's Raphael. So, yeah, they keep it very interesting. But I always know. So they give me different visuals, but they always give me the feeling of knowing what it is.
Now, I had an interesting experience, and I shared some of that with you, I think, the time before, and we talked a little bit, I think, in some emails back and forth, you know, on the first from the first show. But at the beginning of this year, it was actually New Year's night, and it wasn't too long before, you know, New Year's actually happened, and, you know, 2010 came along. I did my first session with what's called a Frank's box, which is a type of a modified radio. I was playing around with EVP, and I wasn't going to a party that night. It was going to be just, so what? You know, we're just another year going in, big deal. But what I didn't know is it was going to open the door to all of this in the way that it's happened. I mean, I had the show going before, but when this happened to me, I ran this test session with this radio I got right in my hand right now, little Radio Shack radio, you know, nothing much to it, $30. And I got it going, and I put a recorder next to it, and I started recording, and I asked some questions, and I ran the session, and then I put the thing aside and forgot about it for a while. And, you know, about a week later, I decided, oh, I better check that session. So I go ahead and I start analyzing it. And I had angels coming through, you know, and they were telling me that they were with me and they would like to work with me.
Aww.
And they were, I got some very, very clear communications. I should send you some of these. I can dig them up and send them to you. And it's probably a good time for me to revisit these because they've been so formative. And I was introduced to another spirit, you know, later on. Her name is Debbie Caruso. 3 weeks later, she died of cancer. And that opened the door to some of our on-air EVP and then opened up a whole range of things that have happened that have been really fun and a lot of good, you know, but it all started with these angels. and you know, it's funny because you brought it up about, you know, us asking for them. I didn't specifically ask for them, but I did ask for the good to always be around me, and I guess that might have been the invitation. But they came in, and they actually said, oh, by the way, we're in your kitchen. And they said that, like, on the EVP. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard them on EVP, but they are awesome sounding. I mean, they sound really cool. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever heard of that before, them coming through on our, you know, paranormal, in a paranormal way?
Well, in your case, is that not the perfect way for them to approach you? I think it's so suitable. And I think they do find ways that we can relate to and ways that we're open to and ways that we can acknowledge it and know that it's real and not discount it. And for you, that was a very effective way to approach you. And I think when you and I talked last year, it was before Christmas, it was before New Year's, and
yeah.
You had the intention was already formed. So the intention really matters too. I mean, if you're just walking around in your head, and in your head you're thinking, yeah, I'd like to work with the angels, I'm open to work with the angels, they can hear that too. That's just the same as asking. So your intention was set, and they felt you. And you were ready to go. And they said, well, here we are. We're ready too.
Well, I got to tell you, it rocked my world. And then running into Debbie, who has been, you know, a lot of people know her. She started coming through in February. We did on a lark, and it always seems like it's on a lark. that these earthquakes come. She came through, and we were doing this ITC session to try to get a hold of her. She's a very famous EVP researcher, and she suddenly got ill in January, and she was here, and she was gone. It was that quick, stage 4 cancer. No one knew she had it. And, you know, normally it takes them a little while to be able to come back from the other side and get through, you know, to some of our gear or talk with other mediums, things like that. And she just, like, took to it like a duck to water. I mean, she was, like, there at full power way early and started interacting with us. And she likes me a lot. We get a lot. It's like, I feel like I've got a girlfriend on the other side when I talk to her. She and I are just really, really close, and I can talk with her, and she'll come through and say my name, and she'll tell me how things are doing, and we'll just have like these private conversations, and it's the neatest thing. But yeah, I really strongly feel like these angels came through and prepped the way for this, and it's been, you know, and Kathy, I mean, can dive in any time on this, and actually she's not. Looking at her, let me see if she's on. She's you know, on isolation right now, but you know, she works with angelic energies all the time too. And I just have a feeling this was one heck of a good setup. And I've got to tip my hat to angels; they are something special.
Yeah, they are. They really add a lot of magic to life,
to say the least. I don't know what's coming next, but I constantly find myself smiling because of this. You know, when I look back on the last year, wow is all I gotta say is wow. So I kind of have an inkling of how it felt for you, you know, with what they did to your world. I mean, they really rocked your world. It changed everything.
And they continue to change everything. The stuff that happens to me even now shocks me to no end. I mean, earlier this year when we started taking these energy bumps in the earth, this last one, with it, what came in was my ability to instantly know people's agendas. And I went, are you guys sure about this? Because this is kind of a lot to adjust to. And It's like they always know what I need for what's coming. And I will get things in advance, and at the time that it will happen, I'll say, like, wow, this is pretty intense, and this is really interesting, and I don't know, I'm going to need some help adjusting. And then, like, a month later, something will happen that it will play perfectly into, and there's a reason that I needed that gift to have expanded. And so I'm always in awe, I have to tell you. My life is so magic and so miraculous, and I'm in awe all the time. I always feel the presence of spirit with me. I can always feel God, and I can always feel the angels. And I'm so grateful. I would love for everyone to have that experience. I would love for everyone to say, yeah, I'm on board. You know, angels start helping me in my life. Because I think everyone would love this experience.
And John and Kim, you do have a caller that's been waiting so patiently, and we only have a couple of minutes, but
let me go ahead and take it. Yeah, real quick here. This is a WAN caller. It's not a normal number. I think it's Skype. WAN, you're on the air.
Hi, am I on?
Yeah, you're on. We've just got a few minutes. You have a question for Kim?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do, because I was referred to her by another medium, and you know, I didn't think I would find her so soon, but I don't remember the name of that psychic, but he said I asked him about addictions, and he said, you know, the best I can do for you is tell you about Kim Vasquez. So I was gonna ask her if she helps people specifically. Gambling addiction.
I'll tell you what. You know, we'll go ahead and continue this off air, so we can get the full answer, and that'll go into the archives. So for those of you out there, we'll go ahead and close the show down and let the stream run out so that Kim can answer. So I'm just going to go ahead and just rattle off here. We've got Anthea from After Dark Radio, Amethyst 72, Brian. Gerber Daisy TM, we have our guest 7775, you are from France, Haunted Hunters, Ms. Ghosts, Old Crow, and Quinny, So thank you all, and to all the lurkers out there, thank you for being on. So now go ahead. And Kim, did you get all that?
I he was breaking up a little bit for me, but I think that the question at the end was, can I help people with a gambling addiction? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly. That's basically the question.
Okay. Well, I'll have to be honest and tell you that I personally don't, I'm not capable of helping with anything. The only thing that I do is bring angels through to give advice to people. And in this type of case, what I would say is for you to ask for their help and to ask for their support in your life if that's something that's for you and you're trying to you know, address that in your life, then I would ask for their help and I would ask for healing. And aside from that, you know, I work in the human realm too, and personally I've worked on addiction. So I believe, for me, in 12-step programs, so, you know, I asked the angels for help, and I did the rest of it as well, and I took myself to a 12-step program so I could build a foundation under me that the angels could help me work with.
Okay, I see. So it's not that you help people, but you mean, so you know about the 12-step program, but that's just something separate that you've gone for yourself.
Right. So I don't actually do like any healing or anything, but I ask the angels to help heal me.
You know, I have something that I can interject with here. It's so funny that this would come up the second day in a row.
Oh.
I had a similar call yesterday on my show, which was normally not my normal night, and I had a gentleman come in who had a gambling problem. And I asked him a question about whether he had had surgery in the last 10
years.
Hello?
Hello?
Is it time?
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to go ahead and I'm not sure what's going on there, but I asked this gentleman about what had happened with him, and it, was there any surgeries 10 years ago? And I was being led to say 10. And I said it, and the next thing that happened was he said no, and I thought, well, maybe I got it wrong. He says it was 15 years ago. And it turned out he had had a brain infection, and he had been basically having this whole pathology going on in his actual brain, which affected the whole and caused some of the gambling. And I said, you need to see a physician. You definitely need help on a number of fronts, you know, not only spiritual, but from a medical perspective. And I have a very close member of my family who went through something similar because of a coronary heart bypass. So, you know, the 12-step program, really good advice. I'd also say, generally in these cases, when it comes to somebody having, you know, gambling addiction, there's often a medical reasoning behind it. And I'm just going to ask you, sir, have you had that looked at?
No, I haven't.
You may very well want to go back and speak to your physician about it and have a complete medical workup done on you, because the reason you're on this show tonight and the reason I've had back-to-back with these is because, you know, experienced with these in the last 2 days is because it was so near and dear to me in my own family. And it was a member of my family, so there's a reason this all happened the way it did. You know, it's the first step in getting you well. And you know, Angelic, I mean, Kim can help you too. You know, with doing the work she does, but also, you know, you've got a shot at helping yourself. And maybe I was supposed to be here for both these days to help two people with this problem, because I've seen the damage firsthand, and it's ugly. It's very ugly. So you can take that step. You probably never realized that, you know, this might have a physical cost.
Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
No, never thought of that. No, not at all.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I asked for help with my addictions, when I was on my knees asking for help with my addictions, the angel that responded to that was Archangel Raphael. So that is a healing angel. And so you can ask for help from, you can ask directly if Archangel Raphael can help you with a gambling addiction. And what that help can show up like is different forms. It can show up that, you know, you can lay in bed at night and picture a green energy around you, healing you. You may have an actual encounter of some sort, but it may also show up in a human form. Like someone in front of you may say to you, you know, I have a gambling addiction and I recently started doing this. And when these types of things happen and we're asking for angelic help, we have to pay attention because often we think we're looking for one thing when actually they're sending help in from different areas. So if it comes up on the radar, on your radar screen, then listen because it's probably information for you.
Yeah. I mean, I just, yeah, Guy, I just feel for you because I know what you're going through. Boy, Kim, is this somebody you would be able to see and, you know, to speak with or,
You mean if he wants to get in contact with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can always contact me on my website. You can just email me. My website is kimvasquez.com, and it's spelled V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z.
Okay. Do you speak Spanish?
No, I don't actually speak Spanish. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. It's fine. I mean, I'm perfectly fluent in English, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Juan, this is Kathy. Hi, darling. I just want to say I love your name. Want to learn. I like that.
I didn't realize what it was I was looking at. You know how I looked at that? I'm sorry. I looked at it. I was going, oh, WAN. I'm an IT guy. You can tell. I was going, WAN, Wide Area Network. What is this? All from some places. And I'm going, who is this guy? Is he like some stupid agency or what? And now all of a sudden I just go, wait a minute. I didn't see that, for God's sake.
I'm just a simple girl. What can I say?
Well, it beat the dummy, the smart dummy here. That was actually good. I was going, Wide Area Network? Why? And that's why I wasn't taking a call. I thought the guy was like, is this like some kind of government thing coming on here? What? I'm so sorry. Oh, no. Oh, leave it to the host. Jeez. Does that help you? I mean, with everything that's come to you tonight?
Well, you know, you did provide some useful information that I had not considered. I mean, I considered counseling, but I never considered seeing a physician for this problem.
Yeah, it really was something. It turns out that there are medical studies that have shown that a high correlation of gambling addiction to both stroke, which is happened in my family, and we also had a case where we had an individual in the family who had a heart bypass, and this was the older heart bypass machines, not the current models, which are much less hard on people's systems. And it turned out that these people were showing up with gambling troubles, and it turned out it was killing parts of the brain when they were on heart bypass. And so there had to be some alterations in the way that these things were done. And you know, technology being what it is, you know, some of these things, they look great in the beginning, and then there's the damages show up a lot later down the road. You may have had something happen to you, you know, like this other gentleman who called yesterday who had this infection, and it took 15 years to show up, you know, to 10, 15 years. And I think the reason I got the 10 is because it started 10 years ago when this all started happening, and he'd been, you know, out of surgery 5 years. So, you know, the workup will say a lot, you know. And you know, Kim was talking about people in human form. Perhaps that was, you know, we were sent here all tonight to do this show to help you. And that's kind of my feel. That's what my guides are saying something here about, you know, that really 2 days of this in a row is like, whoa. And, I mean, this came back to slap me in the chops because I'm remembering all the feelings I had about it with watching somebody I cared about go through it. So, you know, more power to you, sir. You know, it's a gutsy thing to stand up and ask for help, and you're doing the right thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And Juan, have you thought about turning it into something positive to help others?
You know, I haven't thought about that, but I'm not sure how I would go about doing that.
Ask your angels. They should be the ones to be there to help you.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, the first step of a 1,000-mile journey, you know, is often the hardest, and I think that's what you've done. So you've taken the first step. You know, it's just a matter of keeping the momentum up, my friend.
Yeah, and asking for the help. Asking to, you know, being willing to receive the help. So I would definitely ask Archangel Raphael to step in and to lead you toward what's going to help you.
Yeah.
All right.
But I can say that the first step to doing that is you have to be sincere in your want to have them help you.
I have to do justice to my name.
I beg your pardon?
He has to do justice to his name. Want to learn? You got a great sense of humor, my friend.
Okay, I appreciate the advice. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
God bless.
Thank you.
God bless you.
To you as well. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
That was something. Oh my God.
I think that was probably a call for you. You know, I do think that I think you were definitely onto something. There is no coincidence. There is no two nights in a row, same thing and something that you relate to, you know. You are the human angel.
Yeah, it really struck me. I mean, yesterday's show was probably one of the most, Kathy, you were there, you know how it was. We were cooking last night. I mean, things were just
yeah.
hopping.
Yeah.
And you know, I was in full mediumship mode. I do ovulus work. I'll bring out a device and work with it, or do my ITC work where we're, you know, doing FM radio and I'm pulling spirits' voices in and, you know, interpreting for people. And this time it was just call after call after call, and I was rattling stuff off, you know, right off the air. And this one came in, and it just hit me like a freight train. And it's so funny. I normally don't have butterflies all the way through a show. And for all day, I've been on butterflies in my stomach about this show, and I didn't know why. And now I know why. And it wasn't you, Kim. I mean, because I've had you on before, and I'm very comfortable with you. It's just I just had an emotional thing going on with me the whole time, and now I know what it is. I was feeling, you know, that whole sense of feeling I had. It's a helpless feeling when you watch somebody you know that's going through this. And I'm sure you had people who loved you when you were in addiction mode. Who saw what you were going through, and you had to come to it yourself, you know? And, boy, I just called all those things back to the fore. Now I know why I'm feeling this way, and I just got to go, oh, you know,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about with those butterflies, because I've had that before, too. It's like you can sense something's coming, and I in the past have told myself, like, well, you're not nervous about this. What is going on with you? You're fine, you know, just shake it off. And then the reason does show up, and it's really like an excitement for what you're meant to do, for something that's coming that is going to give you an opportunity to help. So it's very cool. And I do believe in those angels, though. I believe that if he wants to ask for help, that he, boy, they will step in there.
I think he had a little bit of a push helping him to get there, personally. That's just... I think he's going to have to ask a little louder and do, you know, like you're saying, and go further with it. But, you know, the fact that he called to do that, it just, that was a big step for him, you know. I mean, the fact that he recognized it. A lot of people don't do that. They don't recognize where they're at until it's too late, you know.
They're probably already working with him, like you say. They gave him the push. He's probably already working with him, because by the time I asked for help, they had already been active in my life.
Yeah, it took everything I had to do this show tonight. I didn't know why. I was looking, usually I can just walk in and I'm eager to jump in front of the mic, and it was like, what is it about this today? I just didn't know, you know, and I thought, oh, it's just the storm, you know, but now I know. And you guys, sometimes I get off and I'll look up at my guys. Are you guys?
Hello, hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, I lost you guys.
No, it's this is it's Blog Talk. Does the they'll cut off the control on the board, but we still are on, so we're good until we hang up. But yeah, I do that. I'll when they get done with like one of these miraculous shows, I'll just get up and go, "You guys," and then they'll give me a little sign that an hour later I'll get something that lets me know, "Yeah, it was us." And I go, "Ha ha, funny."
Yeah.
And did Blog just cut us off the switchboard? Yep.
Yeah, they do that. What happens is when we run over on stream, they'll just cut that off. And, it just sometimes it stays on. Sometimes I'll get it for 2 hours. Other times it just out of the blue. You know, it just depends. And I think it may be that they have an operator there that sees that sometimes we'll just let it run and it doesn't get to it. And other times they're right on the money and they just cut it off. So
I have to say, I am proud of Juan. If Juan is still listening, I am so proud of him for taking that first step.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That takes a lot of guts, and it also takes a lot of stamina and a lot of initiative, and not everyone carries that.
Right.
But he should be proud of himself for doing that.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Kim, I know we've kept you over just a bit, and I just wanted to thank you for coming on. And, I just get a feeling you'll be back again. and
thank you for
we'll talk
me.
About. Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I mean, and maybe when you're getting close on your third book, we'll get you back on. I don't know what time frame that's all going to be in, but, definitely in the next 6 months, if we could touch base again. And I'll stay in touch with you, too. After, because I just feel really close to you. I feel, and we're like neighbors. One of these days, I got to come meet you.
I'm in Virginia.
Like, well,
oh yeah, I know you're far away. I noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you, Kim, the chat room was just loving everything y'all were talking about. Bless your heart. I'm just so glad to have been a part to listen to you.
Aw, well, thank you for spending your birthday with us.
Aw,
yeah,
bless
you.
Your heart.
Thank you, my love. Kathy, you are the best co-host in the world. So, happy birthday, honey.
Thank you.
All right,
well, I love you guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Okay. Take care. Okay, thank you, John.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. And I'll stay in touch. And just thanks again for coming on. Yeah, it was a really special night tonight. I really feel good about it.
My pleasure. Yeah.